When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is back on Sports Bettors, and BetUS has your NBA, NHL, UFC, PGA, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting on all of it. Log in to BETUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. BetUS for 125% bonuses with promo code EB125. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com with promo code EB125.
Coming at you live from the Copple Chevrolet GMC Studios, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task, that's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass, it was tipped, it's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5, he'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
The Ed Lover dance. Nick, have you perfected the Ed Lover dance? I didn't think so.
Zero accountability.
What, with Nick?
He said he'd do it.
I know.
He said he'd learn it.
He's suspect right now.
He said he'd learn it.
I feel sorry for some of these Lincoln High School kids, man. They got a bunch of talent, man. They just ain't, you know, getting developed. And them coaching schemes are suspect.
I reached out to all the
coaches around here and said, I'll come in there for a little small fee and get you back right. Your stuff ain't working, man. It ain't a talent thing. I mean, granted, I'm sure that they got talented players in Omaha, but you come up there. I'll equate it to like this, all right?
Okay.
Just take a defensive back against a receiver, all right? Being a multi-sport athlete, being trained or whatever, right? So, if you have a kid in Omaha that plays multiple sports and during those multiple sports is still getting better at, say, football, and says, let's just take a random number so we can just kind of see it, right?
Okay.
So, say they, through all the stuff they do throughout the whole summer, they get 1,000 competitive reps. Probably a lot, but just say they get 1,000 competitive reps. And the guy in Lincoln gets 200. And that's 200 before they play. Those 1,000 reps could be from personal training, one-on-ones, you know, 7-on-7, 2-a-days or fall camp or whatever they call it, and then however many reps during the game till they meet each other, said player meets each other. Mm-hmm. So this kid shows up with 1,000 reps. Now this kid in Omaha might be the same level athlete or maybe this is, and I'll even say even a little bit lower, right? Say, I don't know, height, weight, speed or whatever. He has 1,000 reps banked going up against a guy with 200 reps banked. Who do you think has more confidence and who do you think is going to be more productive?
And their competitive reps.
Yeah, and who's going to be better? It's just like when I talk to these parents, like when we play against teams from, you know, different states or, you know, or Omaha where they actually play basketball for real, where they just don't go to practice. You know, fun for them is going and actually playing basketball for real. And then when they go play with their friends, they're actually trying to play basketball versus shoot half-court shots between their legs, you know, trying to be Giannis or Steph Curry, right? So I broke it down to them. Like, so if they practice, and we might play some teams from Omaha sometimes that practice 3 days a week and then play on the weekend. So 5 days out of the week, they're doing something. But if they just, if everything's equal with two practices, we both just say everybody gets 400 shots, like 200 a practice. Well, then if they get 200 more shots, then they're at an advantage to us. So then we have to find a different way to win. So that's the difference when you're playing from Lincoln teams to Omaha. It's just a different, mindset, different atmosphere.
Well, I mean, shouldn't it also be not teaching players and teaching you how to play?
Sure, yeah. Teaching you the why. So then when they're out there and they're trying to – ideally what you would like to do is teach them why. So when there is something that's stressing your concepts or the coverage, then, you know, the position groups or the position group players can figure it out amongst themselves because they understand the why. That allows you to play faster, more aggressive, and ultimately it leads to you – looking and being more physical.
But how do you bridge reps?
I mean, that's a drastic analogy that I gave, but you know, you got to do it more. I mean, you got to accept the expectation. I mean, if you want to compete against the teams that are beating you, then you got to do what they're doing, at least to even be on the same level playing field.
Do parents know what they should and should not be telling their kids?
About what?
Do they know how this works? Do they know?
I don't know. Well, see, sometimes I think there's a few that do. But I think sometimes the message gets, I don't know. What's the word? Convoluted or murky or whatever, because it's funneled or manipulated through, like, the coaches.
So if...
Because I don't mean to cut you off, but if I'm a head coach, right, and you say you two are parents, and I'm having it, I'm saying this is what I can guarantee you that I'm going to provide for your son. But with what I'm providing, these are my expectations. Now, if I'm a head coach, it'd be a little bit different because I'm giving you a little bit more is coming. But if I'm just a head coach that never played NFL football X, Y, and Z, and didn't have access to different people that could come on site to give you the training and all that stuff, I'd say that you need, in order for us to be competitive, this is what the state champs do. This is what their expectations are. This is their weight program. This is their off-season program. This is what they need to do, so forth and so on.
Right? If you look at the players, pick a sport, let's say, let's stick to basketball for the sake of this conversation, that can it be trainers that make up the difference between Omaha and Lincoln, or is it simply that the coaches hold them back?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, I got a text from a well-respected dude I know from, well, he played college, but I know him through youth sports, but he knows football. He said, people here don't know what they don't know, which is true. A viable issue, right? You only know what you know. But he's like, pretty much, people are too proud to let the people that know what they're doing do it.
But don't you hear those conversations? Like, there are people that approach you and like, hey Jay, I got a kid, right? I got a kid, but something's missing,
right?
And then you offer,
and then they start trying to say like, oh, they could do it themselves or this and this. But like, I don't have to, you approach me, I don't have time for this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are expectations. I know what I can do, how I can help. It's not just – what people don't understand, when people – that's why I don't say push, but I highly encourage a lot of my basketball kids to go down. And there's plenty of good basketball trainers around here in league. So let me put that out there. But the guy that I like is Thomas Villianco, and he's down there at Speedway because, he's not only giving you basketball skill training. He's training you to be a better athlete, competitive. Why? Expectations, being real with you, not lying to you. You know what I'm saying? And being supportive. He'll watch some of the kids. Then he'll see what he need to work on. Then he'll be like, oh, you know, this, and this. Or you need, you know what I mean? So just being if you want somebody just to put together workouts, that's not going to get you there. Getting you guys to really push yourself to, because that's where you're going to get the confidence from. I mean, where do you think people – you think people just show up on the football field and be like, yeah, I'm just confident? You get your confidence from the work you put in the offseason.
And having somebody that can tell you the truth about it.
All right. And it's not personal.
Well, but how much of that conversation do you end up having with parents?
Oh, you try to, but then a lot of parents don't want to hear it.
Life is back on Sports Bettors, and BetUS has your NBA, NHL, UFC, PGA, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting in all of it. Log in to BETUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. BetUS for 125% bonuses with promo code EB125. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com with promo code EB125.
But by that time, but if you let two or three, here's how, here it is. It's like people are starting so much earlier trying to have the path for their kids to go to college and play sports. It's super competitive from an early age. So if you think that your kid has potential, then you can let 3 years go by, and then on that fourth year, it's too late.
But that happens a lot.
It happens more. It happens at the 80 percentile, 85%. It's too late.
So how do we get that message to those parents so that it doesn't happen?
I don't know. I mean, those are questions I don't even know. I don't think I'm even prepared to answer. I know if I was a high school coach, okay, I would have or try to have a feeder program. That's what I would do. That's the number one I would do. Try to develop Pee Wee, you know, all the way up.
Let's go to the Honda Lincoln hotline now. Brand happening.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's Papa Lockett on the ones and twos?
Not a whole lot. You guys were just kind of talking about, and it wasn't the reason why I called in, and I'll get to that here in a minute, but you just kind of brought up a point, DP, to Jay about the fact of how you address this with the high school coaches. And I think the thing that I learned at a very young age, and I still see it today, being from Nebraska, I came in from a very small community, you know, anywhere from 11 to 20-some kids in your class, in the southeast part of the state. And I would say that the biggest problem with kids in sports in the small communities, I can't speak on the large communities, that would be more your guys' basis, is most of the coaches are parents. And the thing that I noticed growing up is, regardless if you were the best person or best player that was out there on the team, if you weren't friends with the kid's father or mother as a coach, or you weren't in the in-group and had the right last name, you didn't play. And I think that, unfortunately, that's a big reason why in the smaller class sizes within the state of Nebraska, you see some of these programs that should succeed, don't. You have Catholic schools like Falls City Sacred Heart, who may be undersized, but they succeed almost on a year-in, year-out basis, and they have since, heck, I was born in the late 80s. They've been good since the 90s, probably even before I even remember. It's just, I think that's a huge thing in the smaller communities, but I don't know if it's that way in the large communities. Jay, I have a question with the fact of how the NIL has changed the way that our college athletes can make money off of their name and image and likeness. And you're starting to see more of these guys come in and start putting in these camps. You're seeing it with the football players like Stilley and Doman. Do you think those guys, specifically juniors and seniors, I know the other guys can as well, but those guys that have been in college for 2-3 years, they start going out during the summer and say, hey, you're a linebacker. You come work out with us. We'll show you the drills that we do from a collegiate level. Do you think for their standpoint of making it as like an income or a source of income for them as a college athlete, also on the flip side, benefiting the youth in the state with getting them the right workouts, showing them the right work ethic, things like that? Do you think that would be more presentable or taken better from the parent standpoint rather than, I mean, it's sad to say, a former Husker who's a national championship player? Do you think there's anything with that?
Yeah, I mean, anything. I mean, look, dude, I don't need to that was a great question. I don't need to do it, and I don't really get bent out of shape if the parents don't want to do it. But, yeah, if the players got together and tried to, you know, infuse their knowledge with the youth, I think it's great. You know what I mean? You know, and there probably would be a market there because parents would be just going to, like, a Husker football camp. What I'm saying as far as the high school level is they need to do that and implement their system from the youth up. And I know, look, there's a lot of dads that do coach. But my answer to that is there's not a lot of there's dads that go and watch their kid play and claim that they're coaching. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they're doing is really caring about their kid. When you coach everybody. And your kid's in the mix as well. And a lot of times you need to coach your kid 10 times harder and be harder on your kid. So that, I think, is in youth sports, the biggest thing is coaching. Because if you can find a coach or a program that's going to start out with the fundamentals early, it's going to lead to success later on in their, you know, athletic career, because they're going to be able to draw back on the things that they learned 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade when they get into, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, whatever sport they're playing, because the foundation there. And it's not just the fundamentals, it's the accountability, being a good teammate, working hard, being competitive. Those are the things that are kind of instilled in them, and it's not so intense that they can't do it, and it can't be, like, in, you know, ingrained in them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but I mean, so in most places, when that thing comes up where students, current college players want to hold camps or be enlisted to work at camps, they still have to be taught how to coach.
Yeah, and that's where people don't see that. That's what I was just about to say. That's what I'm talking about. When you are training a kid, you are coaching and mentoring more than just going. Because, okay, say like I'm training Nick, right? And he's coming in. Yeah, we might go through a 45-minute workout, but I'm talking to Nick during the workout, so I'm actually mentoring him. I'm checking on him, you know, in between and during, you know, workouts after. And then I'm going to the game and giving him my input. I'm doing more things than just giving you, you know, taking you through a workout.
And that's a good coach.
Yeah, a good – yeah.
But there are the other coaches who are – they're just paid babysitters.
Right.
Like, there are some camps that are just – it's just paid daycare.
Right, yeah.
Like, and you're and a reason for pictures and autographs.
Right.
But there are some where there's actual work. And, yeah, you're right that the good coaches offer so much of the right thing. But the bad coaches are so loud. Like, the bad coaches –
yeah, well, it's hard to – well, and, see, it's hard for parents to evaluate because a lot of time you drop your kid off – and they don't know the difference.
After
2 hours, they're like, did you have a good time? Was it a good camp? Of course they're going to say, yeah. They're not going to say, man, you know, I only got 4 reps in this camp. You know, I don't want to go to next year. But if they got to meet somebody, then it was all good.
Yeah, but and there's also that camp or those training sessions. And I'll put them in air quotes because they're not really training sessions. Really, there's a whole lot of gadgetry and confetti and nonsense, but it's not teaching you how to play the game.
Right, yeah, when you go over, like, different ropes and go through,
Yeah, you got three different sets of cones.
Sets of different cones, and you foot fire around there, and you not ran one route yet.
Well, and you haven't taught them how to run, first of all.
Right, or run a route. What you would need as a receiver to get open.
Well, run the route. Ultimately, you're going to have to run a route. And then learn how to fight a reroute. Like, that's another thing that drives me crazy. But that's okay, right? No offense, anybody will take it. But there are too many receivers in the state of Nebraska. at several levels that do not know how to engage a reroute.
No. Well, the funny thing is, I always like asking DBs, and then one of the dudes, is John Pargo, that plays for Creighton Prep. He's kind of like a hybrid guy that I work with. First thing I always ask him is, tell me how you would cover a seven route, man or zone, negative split or regular split,
down and distance,
field and boundary.
Yeah.
And now, granted, the way he answers isn't going to be how I answer, but if he can answer and has the basics, then I'm like, oh yeah, we're definitely cooking with some peanut oil.
Like, tell me something.
Yeah. If you just tell me I don't know, then you just out there. Then we actually are starting at below ground zero.
Well, but that's the part when it comes to folks who are recruiting experts who have no idea what they're watching.
You know what recruiting experts are watching? What is it? What tape is it they got?
Huddle
tapes. Huddle. And drawing comparisons off of that, reading what somebody else is thinking, and based on wherever their geographical area is, that they're that much better than somebody else. If you got the grainy VHS and you see Randy Moss,
he's a dude.
Okay, yeah, he looks different. When you see LeBron and Allen Iverson, right. I always say Allen Iverson's highlight tape is the best one I've ever seen in my life.
His football highlight tape.
Yeah, football highlight
tape. His football highlight. He was better than Vic. He was better than Deontay Hall. Yeah, like he was
better than everybody.
Like, he was just that dude.
So, a lot of them know it. They work hard, and a lot of them go out and watch. But it's hard to really evaluate a guy that's, like, straight just running through cats.
Jay?
But you can't fault him because he's
– Well, he's doing what he can do where he is.
It'd be more of a negative if you should be running through cats and you're not.
Here's what I – this is when I know – a staff is getting it right, and this is when I know the parents are getting it right. Are you sending your kid to play in a system that his skill set would fits. Work in, yeah. right? That, right. Like, I need to know that, look, if I'm going to send Jay to look at linebackers and Jay runs 3-4, but he runs a physical 3-4 rather than a flex 3-4.
Yeah.
So what he's looking for on film should be entirely different, and it shouldn't have anything to do with what most people are looking at on that dude's film. It should be, wait a minute, where's his head? Does his eyes get around? Yeah. Does he have smart eyes? Is he avoiding bad plays simply because he knows where he's supposed to be and what his key is? All those things, you line them all up. But then we also know that there are a lot of dudes that just go, it doesn't matter. If he's big and fast, I can justify giving him money.
Yeah, that's in everything. But, ultimately, talking to high school sports, you got to really – I always advise parents, always have a conversation with your kid every year, every 6 months, because it can change.
But how many parents – so think about it this way. You were blessed. Because you were blessed.
Because what you – because my aunt, your aunt, the kid's answer has to act, it has to match up with his actions, because his actions are going to speak louder than anything he's going to tell you.
True.
But you still need to have the conversation with him or her and whatever sport, because you want the line of communications open if something does change. But you also want to make sure as we go along and the things and we get older, you can't show up to eighth grade football or basketball is not like fourth grade.
Right.
It's a little bit, it's more intense.
Fourth grade is the biggest kid, fastest kid. Everybody else kind of falls.
So usually the littlest kid, because he's going to run around the corner and be out of there. it's a little bit different. And, I think it all kind of goes in waves, because look, when I was in college, Lincoln was destroying Omaha high school football. Southeast was just running through cats. So I think it's just a wave. But I think that when you go – if you drove up through Gretna, Elkhorn, and Omaha, you would probably see more training facilities in a three – right, Nick? Three or four – baseball too, right? Just on the highway at 80, they have that big gymnastics and baseball thing right there, right? So you would see more of those things in a 10 mile radius than you would maybe see in the whole city of Lincoln. You know, but you also have to have access to fields. So that means the high school coaches have to be able to let you get on the
field. Ownership overdue right. Like I can line up.
But here's what I'd say to you. If I called you up and say, hey, I want to have a camp at your high school, would you tell me, A, you have to pay me? Or would you say, B, okay, I usually don't do this, but you know what? I want to at least get my kids in for free or for a discount, and I'll let you have the field.
I would be too, but we know right. that the majority of
high school
in the state
kids
of Nebraska would be the first one.
In Lincoln, they're going to be like one. Omaha, they would probably be two.
That drives me crazy. Makes me want to punch walls because that's not what it is. Look, I can line up coaches in two lanes. There are people who do the job so that they can say they're doing the job. And then there are people who want to do well while they're doing the job.
Yeah.
And there's a difference, ownership versus do right. There are people that want ownership of the program for all the perks and benefits of owning and running the program. And then there are those who are there to do something for the people that they actually engage with on a day-to-day basis. And those second people are the ones that get into the right drill, the drills that actually fit what they're going to use 9 months later when the season starts, rather than all the circus and the exhibitionist stuff. Are you doing the job because you want to do right? You want to do good things with it? Or are you the coach that just you want control over it? Look, the paycheck is good. You don't want to lose it. You and your partners are all benefiting from it, right?
That y'all are you talking about high school?
High school and college. You can measure up coaches simply by the dudes who are ownership dudes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little, I mean, it's a little right different. Dudes. I mean, I just think that high school – I'm just talking about high school. These cats is just – they need to do better.
Yeah.
They can be mad, but they probably out there. I better go check my car. They might start on my tires.
But that's the right thing to say, and that's the right conversation to have. We'll throw the break. We'll come back. We got more. We got stuff we can cover. This is a great topic to pick up again.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.